This is Holy Thursday. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When you meet together, it is no longer possible to eat the Lord's Supper, for at the meal, each one takes first his own supper, and one is hungry, and another drinks overmuch. Have you not houses for your eating and drinking? Or do you despise the church of God and put to shame the needy? What am I to say to you? Am I to commend you? In this I do not commend you. For I myself have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In like manner also the cup, after he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily, without distinguishing the body, eats and drinks judgment to himself. This is why many among you are infirm and weak, and many sleep. But if we judged ourselves, we should not thus be judged. When we are judged, we are being chastised by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with this world." Before we read the gospel to you, I want to explain a little bit more about the Eucharist in a way perhaps you haven't thought of. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the Eucharist is life to the good and death to the wicked, to the evil. Life to the good, death to the wicked. That's what St. Paul is referring to when he says, eat this bread and drink of the cup unworthily. I don't think that anybody in the church today talks about this, but it should be remembered. We say that the best form of love is found in a kiss. We in our society loathe kissing, except in the banal, physical, sexual way. But in fact, there's nothing more beautiful than a kiss. I do not mean with the lips and all that. But the kiss of the mouth, on the cheek, the sign of great love, great affection. In Europe, it is common, even among men. In this country, hardly at all. I know that moments before my father died, I kissed him. It is the mark of deep love. That is the reason why our Lord was deeply hurt. We don't think of it this way, but it's true. He was deeply hurt when a man to whom he shared his secrets not just betrayed him to his enemies, but betrayed him with a kiss. It is the supreme lie. It is the statement of love whose real meaning is hatred, death. That is the reason why St. Paul says what he does about being guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Can you think of anything more sacred in this world? Anything more esteemed? Anything more valuable? Besides a pile of money that's usually worthless, or precious stones, or gold. And what is that compared to the body and the blood of God? Of God. Think about it. Nothing. And to use such an infinitely valuable treasure as what has been entrusted to us to tell a lie. Because when a person receives Holy Communion, without a clear conscience, he knows that he is an enemy of God, at least in some respect. But because he values the opinion of men more than he does the body of Christ, he uses it to tell a lie. And that's why, you see, receiving communion is like the kiss of Judas. I say that to you not to discourage you from receiving communion. St. Paul says, let a man eat of that bread, drink of the cup, worthily, worthily, as far as his conscience tells him. We cannot know our conscience as God knows it, no. But insofar as we do know it, we should make sure, we must make sure, not to mistreat the most sacred thing on earth as the Holy Eucharist. Jewish must not treat it casually, irreverently, unworthily. And that's what I wanted you to know about this epistle. How many times people are punished in this life because they have mistreated the body and the blood of Christ. And so St. Thomas says again, the Blessed Sacrament is life to the good, death to the wicked. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 15. Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that the hour had come for him to pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, loved them to the end. And during the supper, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come forth from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, girded himself. And then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to dry them with the towel with which he was girded. He came then to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I do you know not now, but you shall know hereafter. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you shall have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash, and he is clean all over. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who it was that would betray him. This is why he said, you are not all clean. Now after he washed their feet and put on his garments, when he had reclined again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If therefore I, the Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash the feet of one another. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so you also should do. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This night, the Church interrupts her spirit of sorrow for sin and penance for joy and gratitude. Even at the moment of betrayal, that's how much our Lord wanted to give this treasure to us. Of his body and blood, of the institution of the Holy Eucharist, sacrament and sacrifice, and the priesthood. That's why we have the white vestments, why the bells are rung, why the organ is played in thanksgiving and joy for this inestimable gift of God's body and blood, sacrifice and sacrament. I have run into people, and it is now widespread. Do you ever hear the line, "I was raised Catholic"? Do you hear that line? "I was raised Catholic. Now I'm nothing. But I was raised Catholic." Can you imagine? I cannot imagine the tragedy of such a person who has left behind him in his life the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Mass, the sacraments, that our Lord shed his blood to give to us. Because the sacraments are all sides of the Eucharist. They're like satellites around the sun of the Eucharist. I can't imagine it. Well, I am not about, because of lack of time, not lack of interest or desire, lack of time, to explain to you the great power and beauty of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, from which comes the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist that you receive. We can tell you this at least. It is the only worship acceptable to Almighty God. No other worship is worthy. No other worship is acceptable. The Mass is it. It's the only thing that counts in this world. The only thing. Not your money, not your possessions, not your influence, not your beauty. This is all that counts. How wise are people who are willing to give up everything for the sake of preserving and possessing the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. It is of infinite value. It is the worship of God by the Son of God, who includes us to worship his Father in his humanity. He is the victim of Calvary that is made present on the altar. He is the priest. So I've told you many times, when you see the priest at Mass with his vestments, you remember it is Jesus Christ himself who is offering this Mass. And he is using the priest who he has associated with himself in the most intimate way for the sharing of his priestly powers, to be his instrument. Remember, at the consecration of the Mass, these are things you already know, but when you realize them, they are powerful, powerful. The priest at Mass puts aside his own identity We say he is in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, so that the consecration of the Mass, he says, this is my body. He doesn't say this is the body of Christ. This is the Lord's body. This is my body. Jesus Christ is speaking. And that man. It's like, for example, when you receive the sacrament of penance. And you hear the priest say, Ego te absolva peccatis tuis. I absolve you of your sins. What do you think saying that? It's Christ alone who's using the breath, the mouth, the voice of the priest who is absolving you, forgiving you of your sins. Think about it. I love to go to confession to hear the words of Jesus Christ saying, I forgive you. In the same way, at Mass, this is my body, this is my blood, shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins, your sins. It's an extraordinary thing. It is an act of adoration, of thanksgiving, of atonement. All of them make up for our sins, you know. The Mass assists you in that. Of petition. True, efficacious petition. Because of the value of the Mass, that you assist at. That a priest needs to appreciate more. Remember that the whole church, this is something too that people do not see, do not understand, because of the great mistaken emphasis on so many clergy, even good ones. Sometimes I ask prospective vocations, why do you want to be a priest? Why? Help people. That's a big one. I want to teach them. I want to assist them in their unhappiness, in their... All good reasons, but not adequate. Not adequate. Go out into the world and you can do that. Why do you want to be a priest? For one reason only, primarily. To offer the Holy Mass. That's why. Everything else leads up to it or flows from it. But the Mass, the liturgy, the church exists primarily for the liturgy. I don't know if you know that. I don't know if you've been taught that. But that's the fact. Priests exist for the Eucharist, sacrifice and sacrament. So he says to his priests, Christ, freely you have received, freely give. That's why I consider it to be the greatest gift of my life, to have for so many years unbroken offered the Holy Mass. A priest is nothing without his Mass. It is unthinkable that a priest seldom offer the Holy Mass. Unthinkable. He's lost his identity. He's lost his meaning. That doesn't mean to say that he is not concerned about spiritual and corporal works of mercy. Of course he is. But with that in view first, to lead people to the Eucharist. It is the perpetuation of Calvary, the application of the merits of the cross, to be united to it with Christ as head and members. That's what our Lord meant when he said to his apostles, when he ordained them priests on this night, Do this in remembrance of me. Do it. That's what it's about. See? Do it. And so it is that this is not just the birthday of the Mass, but it's the birthday of the priesthood this day. The Mass, then, the Eucharist, is the real, true, substantial presence, along with all the accidents of the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. Make sure you know that. Make sure you remember it. Body and blood, soul and divinity, and all of his accidents in the manner of a substance. That is to say, that the Christ that is in heaven is the same one here, right? Here, and will soon be here in this Mass. And that's what you do when you come to Mass, to relive the Passion of Christ and to see it displayed on the altar and to be a part of it, especially when you receive it. It is the source of your happiness, the source of your salvation, the source of your resurrection in body and soul. That's the Mass and what it does. It is your food, your life. Our Lord is your companion in the Eucharist. He is your strength. He is your comfort. He is your foretaste of the heavenly life of the blessed. He gives you a foretaste of heaven in the Eucharist for those who receive it worthily, devotedly, faithfully. And it is as well your victory. And I want to say just a word about that before I conclude our remarks to you tonight. Victory. I have told you in the past that in the fraction of the Mass when the priest breaks the host, you know he does that. You know what the meaning is of the breaking of the host? It's a sign of love, a sign of affection. Break bread with me, share my life with you. That's why the priest does that at Mass, to express that. And then he takes a particle and drops it in the chalice. You know why he does that? To manifest the fact that Christ is alive in the Eucharist, alive. And our God cannot be destroyed, cannot be killed. He rose from the dead. And you receive the living Christ when you receive Holy Communion. The living Christ. That unites himself to you, and by that he shares his divine life with you and promises you an eternal life. He already shares it with you in the sanctifying grace that comes when you receive Holy Communion. That's why the enemies of the church seethe with hatred and anger and fury. Because no matter what they do, they cannot destroy this Mass. And you know what is astounding to us here? You know how the ones who are responding to vocations, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Those are the ones. Because of the power of the Eucharist. We are content. Our evening snack is filled with amazement because of the vocations we get who are that young. And you know who are their greatest obstacles? Their parents. Yes, their parents. And you know what else? Sometimes these parents are not even Catholics. But these youngsters have discovered the Mass in some way and want to be a part of it. That's the power of the Eucharist. The power that we are so easily willing to ignore. I plead with you, do not do this. Be devoted, as it is the most important thing in your life, to the Holy Mass. That Father Faber said is the most beautiful thing this side of heaven. That's what he said. The most beautiful thing this side of heaven. Lastly, we have this beautiful ceremony of what we call the mandatum. Mandatum comes from the word, you see, well, never mind where it comes from. It means command, mandate. It is the great command of the Savior that as our Divine Lord has given Himself to us, He expects us to give ourselves to Him and to one another in the unity of the Eucharist. And by the way, that unity extends to the souls in purgatory and to the saints in heaven. We're one with all of them. Yes, speak to the dead. Yes, speak to the dead. Mm-hmm. They're listening. Why? Not because of some seance, ritualistic, spiritualistic nonsense and demonic activity, but because of the Eucharist, since they are one with Christ in the Eucharist. Yes. You have that divine life that makes you one with them. Speak to the dead. And speak to the saints in heaven, because they are joined to you. They are little brothers because of the Eucharist. That's the meaning of the mandatum. To surrender, the surrender of Christ to you, is the sign of your surrender to one another and to the saints in heaven and the souls in purgatory. And then, of course, and lastly, comes the stripping of the altar. Because after all this is said and done, we return to the humiliation of the Savior, the cost to bring this to us. That's why the altar that represents Christ, more so, by the way, than the crucifix. Did you know that? The altar more represents, more symbolizes Jesus Christ than the crucifix. The priest kisses the altar. The relics are in the altar. He never turns his back without reverencing the altar. He incenses the altar. He bows profoundly to the altar. He drapes the altar in the colors that reflect his disposition that he shares with the priest. That's what the priest has, the same color as the altar. And so, on this night that relives liturgically and in the most chosen souls, physically, he relives his sorrows, his humiliation, things we ignore because we only think of the priest at the crucifix. That's much more than that, you know. He was insulted, harangued and harassed during his entire life, interrupted often. He was ridiculed, mocked, struck, beaten, his hair pulled and pulled out in some cases. His beard was plucked. He looked like an ugly sign of death. And that night, when he was all alone in the Praetorian with the soldiers, rough men who made fun of him, mocked him, beat him, struck him in the head, who plated him with a crown of thorns. And there, for one reason only, to give you the Holy Eucharist, sacrifice and sacrament. Think about it. That's why I'm asking you on this occasion, this night, as you, with God's assistance, experience something of the redemptive mysteries of salvation, to pledge your loyalty. Yeah. Because there are few people who are loyal. That's a big thing for me, you know, loyalty. So I meet such few examples of it. Loyalty. So many people are disloyal to their families and friends. Disgusting. Pledge your loyalty, your defense, your fidelity, despite all persecution and slander, to our divine Lord. You know, we here, in a very minor way, were victims of, I'm not sure if it was satanic or Freemasonic. One morning I woke up and I went to the door and I found these symbols of death. I won't describe what they were, except they were bones of animals. Stripped naked. I mean, it was amazing how they did it. Fur and then completely just bones. At all the entrances of the doors. Here. Because we are being watched. See, we're being watched. So far, Almighty God has protected us. But that doesn't compromise in any respect our loyalty to Christ our Lord, to the Holy Mother of God, to the angels and saints who protect us. Well, dear brethren, I have spoken now much more than I intended, and I am counting, of course, as I always do, I'm counting on your indulgence and as well your interest and your faith. I'm counting on all of that as well as your patience. But at the same time, I know that these are things that you need to hear. Don't you think? Don't you think? I think so. You need to hear them. You need to know them. You need to embrace them. Okay. Well, now let us proceed with our Holy Mass, this Mass of the Holy Eucharist and the priesthood. May God bless you.